Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Chulin Daf Kuf. Hey, we are holding on Daf Kuf, Dalet and Beis. We are at Rav Yitzchak Bered, Rav Mesharshia, about 10 lines from the end of the page, and 10 lines from the end of the page. Today's share is once again sponsored by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children, Eileen Nishmas' mother, Golda Basimcha, Allah Shalom, the Nisham Shavn Aliyah. It's also sponsored by the Gross family, Lizech Nishmas Chan Aleyah Bas Moshe Tzvi, Rav Moshe Yehuda Ben Rav Nachum, Chay Aleyah Bas Naftali Hertzka, and Tzvi Menachem Ben Shmayahu, the Neshama should have an Aliyah. And it is also sponsored by Jack and Jeanette Blumenkopf, my aunt and uncle, the Zecher Nishmas, Jeanette's father, Meir Ben Yosef, pick his Neshama Shav and Aliyah. We thank all of the sponsors very, very much for the sponsorship. So what we're going to talk about today is, first, we're going to discuss we started already discussing waiting in between eating cheese and eating meat. And the Gemara is going to talk about kinuach and hadacha after eating cheese, before eating meat, in order to wash any residual cheese out of one's mouth. Then we're going to talk about eating cheese after eating meat, how much one has to wait after eating fleishig before they eat milchigs. The Gemara is going to discuss how Shmuel advised checking your fields often in order to save money, and the Gemara relates two stories about people who saved a lot of money by doing so, by following that advice. Then the Gemara is going to tell us three particular dinim relating to Netilas Yadayim, both Mayim Rishonim as well as Mayim Achronim, and the differences between them. And then on Amud Beis, the entire Amud Beis, going a little bit into tomorrow's daf, is going to have eight different Minhagim or Hanhagos that Abaye had misunderstood initially, until Rabbah explained them to him what they were really all about. So it's a list of eight different items. So let's begin again. We left off at Rav Yitzchak Breder of Mesharshia Ikla Lebe Ravashi. So Rav Yitzchak Breder of Mesharshia Ikla Lebe Ravashi was at Ravashi's house, Aisele Gavina, and they brought him cheese to eat. Achal, so he ate it. Aisele Bisra, then they brought him meat to eat. And not Basar Of, Basar Behema. So Achal, he ate it. Velo Mashiyadeh, he didn't wash his hands in between eating the cheese and eating the meat. So Amri Lay, so they said to him, what's going on over here? Vatani Agra Chamud Rabbi Abba. Didn't Agra, Rabbi Abba's father-in-law, tell us, Of Ugvina Nechol and Bapikoren, chicken and cheese could be eaten with a sense of Hefkerus without washing your hands in between. Of Ugvina in, Basur Ugvina Lo, that's only chicken and cheese. It's only burned meat and cheese. It is not, the same does not apply to Basur Behema and cheese. So why are you not washing your hands? Samalahu, so he explained, no, I actually hold that way, but Hanimili Balele, that's only necessary to wash your hands if you're eating at night where you can't see if there's any residual stuff left on your hands from what you had eaten previously to what you're eating now. I'll be a mama, hachazina. But during the daytime, we're able to see that my hands are clean and there's nothing stuck on my hands. There's no shamnunis that's left on my hands, and therefore I don't need to wash my hands before I eat the basar. And in Shulchan Aruch and Siman Samaches of Beis, the Shulchan Aruch paskins that during the daytime you could just check that your hands are clean, and it's only a Siman Pei test rather. And then nighttime, where you're not able to see, that's where you have to really wash it well. However, the Torah quotes Rabbeinu Peretz that we should wash our hands even during the daytime, because sometimes it's very fatty and it sticks to the moisture on our hands, and when it's not so clearly nicker, and the Shach quotes that tour la halacha. So always best to wash in between one and the other. And that's how the Lech Mishnah explains the Rambam as well, that always best to wash between one and the other, but he felt that he didn't need to because he was very confident that there was nothing left from the cheese on his hands at the time that he ate the meat. Tanya, Beishami Omrim Mikaneach. Beishami says that after a person eats cheese, he should wash out his mouth by eating something before he eats the meat. Ubeisil Madiach. And Beisil says he should rinse out. And Pashtus is, Rashi understands, rinse out his mouth, meaning you should use water to rinse out his mouth. The Rambam, Machol Sasurus, Perktes, Alachavav, and the Ran say that no, Hadacha means to not rinsing out the mouth, it means rinsing his hands after eating cheese, before eating meat. But let's stick with Rashi. So Beis Shammai says you should clean out the mouth by eating bread, let's say. And Beis Hillel says you should rinse out the mouth with water. My mekaneach, my madiach, what are the mekaneach and the madiach that Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel are referring to respectively? If you want to tell me that it means Beis Shammai omrim mekaneach velo boi madiach, that you're only mekaneach with a food item and you are not madiach with any water. Beis Hillel madiach velo boi mekaneach. mekaneach, and Beis Hillel says you only use water and you don't need to be mekaneach with any solid food. Ela hadam Rabbi Zera in kinuach peh ela bepas keman kebeishamai. But then that which Rabbi Zera says that kinuach peh is only with pas, so that's going like the Beis Shammai, that the Beis Shammai says you only do kinuach, because according to Beis Hillel you don't need to do kinuach at all. So ela, so not, that can't be that he's saying like the Beis Shammai. So it must be Beis Shammai or mekaneach velo bay madiach, that you do kinuach peh and you don't need to do to rinse out with water. Beis Hillel that it's not enough to do kinuach alone, but af madiach, in addition to kinuach, by eating a solid food, you should also rinse out with water. So when Rabbi Zera says that the kinuach happens bipas, that's bein le Beis Shammai, bein le Beis Hillel. It's just the Beis Shammai says that's all you got to do, and Beis Hillel says it's one of the two things that you need to do. So that asks the Gemara, based on what we're saying now, that according to Beis Shammai, you could do just kinuach, and according to Beis Hillel, you need to do something extra, kinuach and hadacha. This would then turn out to be something that Beis Hillel is more machmir than the Beis Shammai about, which is not unprecedented, but it's rare enough that it's all collected in one place in Maseches Etios in the fourth perek, where we go through all of the kule Beis Shammai and the chumre Beis Hillel, and this didn't make the list. How come it's not on the list if this is really true? So Ella must be a third understanding of this machlokas. That Beis Shammai omrim mekaneach vu adin lemadiach. Beis Shammai says you could be mekaneach piv with the solid food, or you could rinse it out with water. Or Beis Hillel madiach, you could rinse out with water vu adin lemekaneach, or you have the option of using a solid food. Maro mechad velo pligi. And they're not arguing at all. It's just that each one is giving a different example of what you could do to clean out your mouth after eating cheese before eating meat. That is the way Rashi and the Rif and Tosos understand. The Rashba says that according to both of them, one of them is good enough. Meaning that the way Rashi and the Rif understand is that you do both of them, that you do kinuach and hadacha, that you need to do both kinuach and hadacha, and each one is telling us one of the requirements of what to do. The Rashba understands not that you need to do both, that you have the option of one or the other, that each one would work. Otherwise, Igra, when in yesterday's daf, should have said, when it comes to ofu gvina that are eaten bapikoren, he should have said belo netil sidayim ubelo kinuach peh vehadacha, but he didn't mention hadacha. So it must be that you only need to do one of them, and that's why he only mentioned one of them. That's how the Rashba learns. Gufa, so going back to what Rabbi Zera said, Amar Rabbi Zera ein kinuach peh ela bepas, that kinuach peh is only accomplished by eating bread. Other things are not going to absorb up. They're not going to the cheese, the residual cheese that's in your mouth. Only bread will really absorb it. The hani mili, but that idea that bread will do the trick, bidechiti, that's only if it's wheat bread. Aval bidesari lo. If it's barley bread, it won't do the trick. Barley bread tends to be very very crummy and it doesn't stick together to be able to really do the job. Udechiti namilam or el bekarira. And even with wheat bread, it's got to be cooled off. Aval bechamima, but if it's still hot, mishter shatri, then it's going to become softer when you chew on it, and it itself is going to attach to the palate of your mouth and it's not going to do the job. And not only that, even cool wheat bread is only if it's soft, but if it's hardened, if it's toast, then it's not going to do the job of kinuach peh, because it also will become crumbs in the mouth. So it can't be too doughy where it sticks to the mouth. It can't be too crummy where it's not going to do the job of doing a proper kinuach. It needs to be a perfect type of a soft crust that does the job. I was talking to Joel Schreiber yesterday, and he was telling me that his father-in-law, Irving Bunim, was once talking to a group of very rich people, and he said, I see that I'm talking to the upper crust of society, so I had to look up, what does upper crust mean? And it says, a bunch of little crumbs that are held together by a lot of dough. So, okay. So anyway, the hilchasa, b'kol mili havi kinuach. The halacha is that when, that not like Rabbi Zera says, but you could could use anything, any food to be mekanech, levar mikimcha tamri viyarka, except for flour or dates or vegetables, which are soft and aren't going to help for kinuach hapeh. They won't do the job for kinuach hapeh. It's interesting. So we say you can use anything, but flour is one of the things you're not allowed to use. In Orachayim, Kufayim Gimel, the Torah writes, you can use anything except for barley flour. That's what he writes. But in Yoredeya, in Simon Peites, he says, chutz mikimcha, you're not allowed to use flour. But he doesn't say barley flour. So the Shach writes, yeah, because barley flour is a Talos Sofer in the Torah, because the Gemara is saying differently. We're saying, we're not saying the chilik between barley and wheat. Now we're saying you could use anything. Whereas the Knesset HaGedolah says, no, he means barley flour. The Gemara is not backing out on the chilik that we said before between barley and wheat. The Gemara is just saying that we're backing out on the statement that you can only use bread. We're saying that more food groups other than bread. But if you're going to use bread, we're still maintaining that chilek. So those are the two, it's a steer in the Torah, but those are the two deos that appear in the Torah in two different places, one in Arachayim, one in Yaredeya. Okay, what about the opposite? What about if you ate a flesh gesuda and now you want to eat milchiks? So by me, Ravasi asked Rabbi Yochanan, kama yisha bin basa l'gvina. How much do you need to wait between meat and cheese? Amalei velo klum. You don't have to wait at all. Right away, you can eat. You can eat gavina. Eini, is that really so? Vam rav chista achol basar also achol gavina. That if you ate meat, you're not allowed to eat cheese right away because the basar is fatty and the taste is will be felt in your mouth for some time. So if you eat gavina while you still have tam basar bepiv, it's as if you're eating basar b'chalav. That's how Rashi explains that. It's the tam basar remains bepiv after you eat basar because basar is very fatty. The Rambam understands that the reason why you have to why you're not allowed to eat cheese right after basar is because basar ben hashinayim, that basar gets stuck in between the teeth, and the Torah writes that each of them has a chumra and a kula, meaning according to Rashi that the reason is because the tam basar remains bepiv. That's only if you're achal basar, but let's say you only chewed on it to feed it to a child and you didn't swallow it yourself, so then it's not motzi that tam, it doesn't give that same tam that keeps coming back, and basar ben hashinayim would be a problem. The Rashi would hold that that you don't have to worry about basar ben hashinayim, but according to the Rambam, you would have to worry about basar ben hashinayim. Now, according to the Rambam, that the reason is basar ben hashinayim, so even after chewing, you would have to wait 6 hours because if you ate meat and then 6 hours passed, according to the Rambam, you wouldn't need to be menachar hashinayim. You wouldn't need to floss your teeth because even if there is basar there, it's considered to be fully digested. Whereas according to Rashi, if there's actually basar ben hashinayim, you need to get rid of it because even after 6 hours, it's considered that the basar is still there and you're not allowed to eat gvina so long as you didn't take it out of your mouth. Those are the two nafkaminas that the Torah quotes between how Rashi understands and how the Rambam understands. But either way, the Gemara is saying, how can you tell me that you don't have to wait at all after eating meat? Didn't we learn that achol basar asal echol gvina? Once you eat meat, you're not allowed to eat cheese right away. Gvina mutal echol basar, but if you eat cheese, you are allowed to eat meat right away. Ella, so you have to say that Ravasi Shaila was not on eating cheese after meat. Kama yisha bin gvina lebasar. It was if you ate cheese, how long you have to wait to eat meat? Samalei velo klum. That's where he said that you don't have to wait at all. That it's in the reverse direction that you don't have to wait at all. Gufa amar Rav Chista. So Rav Chista had said, achol basar, asal echol gvina. If you ate meat, you're not allowed to eat cheese right afterwards. Gvina mutal echol basar. But if you ate cheese, you are allowed to eat meat right afterwards. So amar Rav Acha bar Yosef Rav Chista, basar shebein hashinayim mahu. What about the basar that remains between your teeth by the time the next suda comes along? Is that called basar and you're not allowed to eat cheese until you take it out? Or maybe we assume that the tam is already gone. It's considered to be fully digested. And yes, you can tell that it's there, but it's not called basar anymore because your saliva has broken it down to a point where it no longer has the status of basar. So kari alei, he said about in the pasuk, habasar odenu bein shineihem, that even when the basar is between the teeth, apparently it's still called basar, because it said the pasuk says habasar odenu bein shineihem. So therefore, it's going to be shaykh nisra basar b'chalav, and you're not allowed to eat gavina until you remove the basar that's still stuck between your teeth. The Ran writes, however, that even though basar bein shineihem is called basar, if let's say you ate fleishig lunch at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and you waited some time, and it's already dinner time now, and you notice that there's basar bein shineihem. You notice there's a little bit of meat stuck between your teeth. So you have to remove it, but you don't need to start the count of waiting another 6 hours because you just had meat between your teeth, according to the sheet of 6 hours, let's say. So you could count and start the cheshbon of the 6 hours from the achila rishona. But he says you should still do a kinuach hapeh after you remove that basar. Amar Mar Ukva. So Mar Ukva commented, "Ana laha milsa." When it comes to waiting in between fleishigs and milchigs, my hanhaga legabe this matter is chala bar chamra legabe abba. I am like vinegar, the son of wine, in comparison to my father. Dilu abba kiava achol bisri. If my father would eat meat for lunch today, lo achol gvina al lemacharat hashta. He wouldn't eat cheese until tomorrow lunch, until 24 hours later. Vilu ana, but I have a much less chamra dika hanhaga. Bahasu dasu dilo achol. I won't eat meat in the same meal, but the sudas achrita, I won't eat cheese in the same meal, but the sudas achrita achilna, but another suda, I will eat the cheese, just in the same meal that I won't do it. So what does that mean exactly in the same meal? So Tosos and the Ravya say that the Chachamim were not mechalik about any zman, even right after the fleishig meal. If you're mechalik the shulchan and you bench, so right away you could eat cheese. There's no waiting period. And the Taz writes that even according to them, you have to be misalik yourself from the su'uda entirely, which means that there's no immediate plan of eating cheese. Meaning you benched, you figured you were finished, and you say, I'm hungry for some ice cream. So that's that. Even they would require that, at least, that you were misalik yourself from the su'uda. However, the Rambam, the Rashba, the Bali'itur, the Rush, they all say that, no, there's got to be a time period from su'uda to su'uda. It's not just that as soon as a su'uda is finished, you got to wait. The amount of time that people normally wait between the suda, they used to have two sudas a day, so between the suda that you have in the morning, between your brunch and your dinner, you have to wait that amount of time. So the Rambam says that amount of time is 6 hours. However, the Marshal is quoted by the Shach in Yerodei Simon Peites that it has to be not only 6 hours. 6 hours alone is not enough. It also needs to be another suda. Meaning, if you're sitting at the same suda one of these long Shabbos afternoons where it just goes and goes and goes, so you can't just switch to milchigs at some point because it's been 6 hours. It needs to be a different suda. The Marshal is bothered by this comment that Marukva has that I'm nothing compared to my father. I don't know. If he disagreed with his father and he thought his father was wrong, and he's trying to say that koach te'ra adif, that I do better, then he shouldn't call himself vinegar, the son of wine. And if he holds that his father was right, so then why was he being more makel than his father? Why didn't he do like his father? So the Marshal says that his father that his father was not mekabel from his rebbeim that you needed to wait 24 hours. His father had a kabbalah that you need to wait misuda l'suda. But the way his father understood that kabbalah was that each day they'd have one big meal. There was one major meal each day. So the way he defined su'uda was from the major meal of today to the major meal of tomorrow. Whereas Marukva himself said, no, he doesn't think that that's the interpretation of the tradition. So he did disagree with his father, but he was saying, my hanhaga is not nearly as chamer as my father's hanhaga. I'm not as machmir as he was, because I choose to interpret su'uda l'su'uda in a different way. The Bali Musar say differently. They say that it was clear that Marukva's father was doing a chumri yaseira, that it was a chumra that was beyond what the halacha requires. Marukva was maybe doing what the halacha requires. His father was doing beyond what the halacha requires. And what he's saying is that I can't keep a chumra like that, not because I'm incapable. Anyone's capable of waiting 24 hours, but it would be inappropriate. Meaning a person has to work on the dinim before you work on the chumras. And sometimes it's out of whack. A person has some sort of crazy chumra, but they're not observing half of the dinim. So it looks ridiculous. It's it's lipstick on a pig. It doesn't doesn't make anything look nice. It's not a proper way of hanhaga. So that's how the Bali Musar interpreted. I think Rav Sternbach quotes that in his Sefer on Chumash. So that's what he's saying. It's unfortunate I'm not on the madrega of my father, where such a chumrah would be appropriate, where it would make sense to have such a chumrah. Amar Shmuel, Anah Hamil. So once we're saying, talking about people who are not on the level of others, so Anah Hamil, so Chalabar Chamra L'Gabei Abba. I am like vinegar, the son of wine, with regard to my father. In the following Hanhaga, Dilu Abba Avasayir Nichsei Trezim Nibiyoma. My father used to check out all of his properties and check on them twice a day. Anah L'Seyar Nel Chadazim. I only check on them once a day. Shmuel the Tamei, the Shmuel the Shita. So Damar Shmuel. That if you want to find lost money, check on your stuff. Don't just let it be. Don't just leave it in the hands of others. You want to oversee your businesses if you want to find lost money. And the Marshal says is kipshutam, that the tzaddikim are medaktikim al mamonam. You're not supposed to be wasteful of your money, and if you have it, you want to protect it. So he was saying that it's very important to check every day. The Chavetz Chaim, however, writes in Shem Olam that this is not talking about Gashmi, it's talking about Ruchnius, that a person should do a Cheshbon HaNefesh. And he was saying, my father was was such a tzaddik, he did a Cheshbon HaNefesh twice a day, but I'm not such a tzaddik, I only do Cheshbon HaNefesh once a day. But if you don't want to lose out on your mitzvahs, and you want to make sure that you're growing and that you're doing better, so you should do a Cheshbon HaNefesh frequently. I was very moved. I was at a chasana the other night, and I was talking to a friend of mine, and it was almost Chodesh Elul. Today's Rosh Chodesh. We were talking about Chodesh Elul and things to work on and things like that. And he said, I never even showed this to my wife. He takes out his phone, his notes app. He said, I maintain a list of things that I'm working on, to do Shnayim Mikra better, to do this better, to do, like, I just, to check on myself every once in a while, make sure that I'm working on the things. We're supposed to be growing people. So I've often quoted, Rabbi Reisman says that every year you hear someone give a drasha, where then big speakers, Tamil Chum sometimes, they say, it's another year and we're exactly the same and we never grew. He says, every time I hear that, I feel bad for the guy. Like, aren't you embarrassed to say that? Another year and you're exactly the same as he was last year? What's wrong with you? Of course you should be better. Of course you're supposed to grow from 1 year to the next. Anyway, so Abai have a sire nichse kol yom of yom. The Gemara tells two stories about people who checked out their nechassim. So Abai used to check out his nechassim every day. Yom echad paga barise de dori pitko du ufe. One time he saw his sharecropper carrying a bundle of wood from his field, that he was stealing valuable lumber. So Amalei, Hani Lehecha, he says, hey, where are you bringing that wood? Amalei Lebeimar, oh, I'm bringing it to your house. He wasn't. Amalei, Kvar Kadmucha Rabbanan. It's a good thing the Rabbanan gave the advice that you're supposed to check on your workers, because otherwise they'll steal. Chavetz Chaim and Shem Olam understands this story also about Ruchnius, that the Yetzer Hara is going to take things away unless you do the Cheshbon HaNefesh and you catch him. Fine. So Ravasi, Avasai Nichsi Kol Yom. Ravasi used to check his Nechassim every day. Amar Hechaninu Kolani Astiri Demar Shmuel. And he said, I never caught anyone doing anything wrong. I never saved a single penny from doing this. I hired the best people. I never had a problem. Yom Echad Chazat Tzinora Debatka Ba'arei. One day he saw that there was a hole in the edge of the Amas Hamayim, and the water was about to overflow and flood out the entire field. It was going to be a total loss. Shakli Luglime, he quickly took his jacket, Karche, and he bundled it up, Osvi B'gava, and he plugged up the hole, Ramakala, and he yelled for help, Asman Shisachrua, and other people came, and they helped him close up, they dam up the hole so that it wouldn't flood his field. Amarashka Chetinu Lukuli Yisteri Demar Shmuel. He said, I kept on following the advice of Shmuel that you got to keep checking your field. I thought it was doing nothing for me, and in this one day, I saved all of that money that he said that you're going to find by checking after your stuff. Now the Gemara tells us some dinim about Mayim Rishonim and Mayim Achronim, about Netilas Yadayim. So Amaravidi Barav and Amaravitza Barashion. Mayim Rishonim Mitzvah, Achronim Chova. Mayim Rishonim is a mitzvah, Mayim Achronim is a chova, which sounds more severe. Tosfos raises the question, what's the nafkamina, whether you call it a mitzvah or a chova? Either way, you got to do it. So Rabbeinu Tam says, nafkamina is, if it's a shas milchama, that the Gemara in Erevin says that you're potter from Netilas Yadayim, so that's only Mayim Rishonim. But Mayim Achronim, which is because of Sakana, even B'Shas Melchama, you need to do Mayim Achronim. Then Tosfos quotes a Bahag, the Mayim Rishonim, which is a mitzvah, requires a bracha. Mayim Achronim, which is only on account of Sakana, does not require a bracha. Okay, so Meisvei, the Gemara asks, is that really true? That Mayim Rishonim is a mitzvah and Achronim is a chova? Didn't we learn Mayim Rishonim ve'achronim chova? Emtsayim Rishos, that both Mayim Rishonim and Achronim are a chova, that even Rishonim are a chova. And the Mayim Emtsayim is only a Rishos. So it says Gemara, yeah, because mitzvah l'gabi Rishos, chova karila. In comparison to a Rishos, a mitzvah is called a chova. But they're really three madregos. The Mayim Emtsayim, that they would wash their hands in the middle of a suda for cleanliness sake or for whatever reason, that's the lowest madrega. Then above that is Mayim Rishonim, then Mayim Achronim, because of Sakanan, Chamir Sakanta Meisura, is more severe. Gufa, Mayim Rishonim ve'achronim chova, and Soyim Rishos, and that's what we have said. Rishonim, another din, Rishonim notam ben b'kli ben al gabi karka. Mayim Rishonim, you could pour the water into a kli or directly on the ground, and there's no harm from that. Achronim ein notam el b'kli, but Mayim Achronim, you got to wash into a kli. V'amila ein notam al gabi karka. Others say, not that you have to wash into a kli, but that you're not allowed to wash straight on the karka. My b'nai, what difference does it make whether you say it's got to be in a kli or it can't be on the karka? Ikabinayu kinsa. Nafkamina is if you wash on chips of wood, they're not a kli, but they're also not on the karka. So that would be good enough. And the way the chronim understand it is because the whole thing is about ruach ra. So if it's on chips of wood, the water disperses and there's not going to be a puddle, so it's not going to be a sense of ruach ra. Another din, Mayim Rishonim Noten Bein Bechamin Bein Betzonein. You could use for Netilas Yadayim before Suda, you could use warm or cold water. Achronim Ein Noten Ela Betzonein. After Suda, you need to use cold water. Meshe Chamin Mefapin Asayadayim, because it softens up the hands. Vein Mavirin Asazuma, and doesn't do a good job of cleaning off the zuah. Only cold water will clean off the zuhama. Mayim Rishonim Noten Bein Bechamin Bein Betzonein. So we just said that for Mayim Rishonim we can use hot or cold water. Amrav Yitzchak Bar Yosef Amrav Rabbi Yana Lo Shanu Ella She'ein Hayad Sol Ledes Behen. When we say that Mayim Rishonim can be even warm water, it can't be Yad Sol Ledes Behen. Avol Yad Sol Ledes Behen Ein Noten Behen. If it's Yad Sol Ledes Behen, then you should not use such water for Mayim Rishonim. V'ika D'masni La Seifa. Some, however, said the comment of Rav Yitzchak Bar Yosef not on Mayim Rishonim, but on Mayim Achronim, that Achronim ain't nothing of the Tzonin. We said that you can only use cold water for Mayim Achronim. Av B'cham, no, but you're not allowed to use warm water for Mayim Achronim. And on that, Om Rav Yitzchak Bar Yosef, Om Rav Yana, Lo Shonim, Lo Shiat, Lo Zben. How do we define hot? What's hot enough that you're not allowed to use it for Mayim Achronim? Only if it's Yatzal Ledespo. Av Alein Yatzal Ledespo, nothing. If it's less than Yatzal Ledespo, you are allowed to use it for Mayim Achronim, even though it is warm. Mechal Rishonim, Av Pishay Yatzal Ledespo. A mutter, and that would imply that for Mayim Rishonim, even Yatzal Ledespo would be mutter, even if the water is hot enough that it's Yatzal Ledespo. It's interesting, Rashi over here on the word Soled, stop Rashi, Nichves. Rashi says Yatzal Ledes means that your hand burns from it. The Gemara in Shabbos, when it talks about Yatzal Ledes, says that it would burn a baby's belly, which is not, you know, a tough hand of an adult, doesn't get burnt as easily as a soft belly of a baby. And the Magen Avraham writes that it can't possibly mean that your hand would burn from it, because what kind of fool is going to wash with something that's going to burn his hands? Now, obviously, we're talking about something that this means that if you were expecting the water to be room temperature and you stuck your hand in and you felt it was hotter than you were expecting it to be, that you would instinctively withdraw back your hand. That's how Rashi teaches in Maseches Shabbos, not Nichves, but that you would instinctively draw back and then until you realize that it's not really that hot, and then you would put your hands back in. And Emtsayim Rishos. So we said the Mayim Emtsayim is Rishos. Amar Rav Nachman Lo Shana Welabein Tavshil LeTavshil. That's Mayim Emtsayim between one Tavshil and another. Whether it's Tavshil Shalbasar, whether they're both Tavshilim Shalbasar, both Shalgvina. Alabein Tavshil Gvina. But if it's a Tavshil Shalbasar and a Tavshil Shalgvina, meaning you ate cheese and now you want to eat basar, so then Chova, then you need to wash your hands because you have to worry that the cheese is stuck to your hands. And when you eat with such hands, it's going to be eating basar b'chalav. Amar Rav Yehuda Rav Chaim, ma amru mayim achronim chova. Why do we say mayim achronim is a chova? What's the purpose of this chiyuv? Shemel tzdomus yeshem asami asenayim. Because there's a type of very coarse salt called melech tzdomus that if you still have it on your hands and you rub your eyes, it could blind you. So Amar Rabbi, umishtakach bekurta bekura. This salt is not so common. You'll find one little grain of it in a kor, which is 30 sa of salt. Amrle Ravacha b'rei d'Rav l'Ravashi kol milchamai, that someone who measures salt in order to sell it, and he's worried that his hands touch the salt, what would the din be? Does he have to do netil sidayim after measuring it or not? So Amrle lo mibayi, that there's no shaila over here. If you were touching salt all day, of course you need to wash your hands. I mean, it's not only about eating. If your job involves you work in a salt factory, so that's even more than eating. Then of course you need to do a type of mayim achronim. So now the Gemara moves on to eight different ma'amarim that Abaye says about a certain hanhagos that he thought he understood until Rabba came along and told him, no, it's for a different reason. You misunderstood that hanhaga. So one at a time. So number one, Amar Abaye, Meresh Avmina Haidlo Moshe Maya Basray Alara. I used to think that the reason we don't do mayim achronim on the ground, we don't pour the water on the ground, is mishum zuama, because it's smelly and gross, and it's not nice to take dirty water that you just wash your filthy hands with and leave it on the ground. Samli mar, but then Rabbi explained to me mishum deshayi ruach ra'a layu. It's because there's a ruach ra'a on the mayim. So and therefore the Mishabura points out in some kufpei aleph that if someone walks on it, it would be dangerous for a person to walk on it because there's a ruach ra'a over there. In the Rosh Yosef, he says it's a nafkamina, that according to the reason that Abaye initially thought that it's because of Zuama, so that's only, you don't have to be careful that people shouldn't walk on it. But according to the reason of Rabba, that it's Ruach Ra, then you need to be careful that people shouldn't walk on it. Another nafkamina, the Iun Yaakov, and the En Yaakov says that if the reason is Mishum Zuama, so if it's a filthy place to begin with, it's already a makam that's Mizuam, then you wouldn't have to worry about it. But if it's Ruach Ra, so Zuama and Ruach Ra are two different things. Vamar Abaye, a second thing, Mireisha Avamina, initially I thought, that which we're makbid not to take something from the table while somebody's drinking, because he might get upset and he's going to want to say something, but he's in the middle of drinking and he's going to choke. So but Rabbi said, that's not the reason. It's because it can cause the person who's holding the coast to have some sort of illness, some sort of mental illness that will affect him from having something taken away from him while he's drinking. But that's only if you take something away and don't bring it back. But if you take it away and bring it right back, then it's fine. So it's also only an issue if it's taken outside of Dalet Amos. But if it's within Dalet Amos, it's not going to be a problem. And it's also only a problem if you're taking away something that is necessary for the Suda. Something that is not necessary for the suda, less than, but then we don't have to be makbid about it. Marbar Avashi kapad afilu ha'istu ubuchna detavli. He was makbid even the grinders of the spices that they had at the table, that they shouldn't take it away while anyone was drinking from their coast, midi detrich l'sudasa, because those are things that are needed for the suda. Third hanhaga, vam rabbi mireish avmina haidekanshi nashvara'a. I used to think the fact that people gather the crumbs from the house after a meal, mishum man kirusa, it's because of cleanliness. And Rabbi explained to me that no, it's kashila niyusa. If a person doesn't clean up their crumbs, they're likely to become poor. Ha'u gavra, and the Gemara tells the story that the malach that's memuna on anius wanted to attack him and wanted to give him anius, wanted to make him poor. The malach couldn't get to him. It's like the story with David HaMelech and the malach HaMavis. There are certain things that malachim can't get, right? So the malach of anius that was going to bestow anius upon him, you wouldn't think there's no malach of anius, so you just don't get the blessing of Ashirus. But anius apparently is a shame davar, it's a thing, right? So the malach of anius couldn't get to him to kazar and shvaratuva because he was always cleaning up his crumbs. Yomachad korach rifta yabli. One time he was eating over grass. Amar hashavadin afabidai. The guy was saying he's going to clean up crumbs from the grass. Now I'll get him. Basar dachal. After he ate, aiti marav akrinu liyabli. He took a shovel and dug up all the grass and shadinu lenara and threw it all into the river. liver. So Shami Dukamar, he overheard this Malach saying, Vai Davke Ugavim Besi. He just threw me out of his house. I was going to be a permanent resident in his house, meaning Anius was going to be a permanent resident in his house, and now I have nowhere to go. So Va'amar Abaye, a fourth Hanhaga, Mereshav Minahai Dela Shasi Ufya. I used to think the fact that people don't eat, don't drink, rather, the foam at the top of a beverage, Mishum Yasu says, because it's disgusting. Samarli Mar, but Rab explained, Mishum Dekashi, the Karsab, that it can cause a certain type of illness, of excess mucus from the nose or something like that. So Mishti Kasha the Karsab, drinking it will cause that illness. Minpach Bey, if you blow on it, Kasha the Resha, it could cause headaches. Midachye, if you push it down with your, if you push it away with your hand to the side, kashala and yusa, that could lead to poverty. Maitakante, so what should you do? L'shake shakue, let it sink into itself until it disappears. L'karsam dechamra, for the illness called karsam, which is caused by drinking the foam on top of yayin, the refua is shichra. The refua is by drinking beer. The shichra, the illness that's caused from drinking the foam on top of beer, is maya. The refuah is by drinking maya, by drinking water. The maya, if you drink the foam on top of water, lesa takanta, then there's nothing you could do about it. And that's why people say that poverty chases after the poor, because the ani is only able to drink water, and there's no refuah for what happens when he drinks whatever bubbles are on top of the beverage. This is a fifth hanag. He says the fact that they're makbid not to take vegetables from a bundle of vegetables that the guy who tends to the garden had bundled them up, you're not supposed to just pull one out of the bundle, mishum demechsi kraftenusa, because that makes you look like a glutton. Mishum dekashi lekshafim. And Rabbi explained that's not why. It's because it's bad for kishuf. So if chisav Rabbi Rav Huna v'kazli ba'arba, they were going on a boat. Amrulu ha'u matrunisa. So a certain noble woman said to them, Osvan ba'daichu, I want to go on the boat with you. But lo asvua, they didn't allow her on the boat. They didn't want her to be keeping them company. So Amra Milsa, so she said something using kishuf, asarti la'arba, that tied the boat, that wouldn't allow it to go anywhere. So Amra inhu Milsa, they said something to be mevatel the kishuf, and sharyua, and the boat was released, and it was able to float away. So Amra luhu, she said to them, mayavadchu, what am I supposed to do? I have no power over you because you're careful about the three things that protect the person. That people who are not careful about would leave them vulnerable to kishuf. First of all, that you don't clean yourselves off using pottery in the Beis HaKiseh. Number two is lo katulchu kina amenaychu. You don't kill lice on your clothing. And number three is lo achulchu yarka mikisha dasugina. You don't pull out a vegetable from the bundle of vegetables that the guy who tends the garden bundles them up. So because of that, I have no power over you, and my kishuf has no power over you. Number six, v'amar Abaye, mereish havmina haida lo achli yarka denafal mitaka. I used to think the fact that people wouldn't eat vegetables that fell off of the table, mishum miyasusas, because it's disgusting. Samali mar, but Rab explained, mishum dekosha l'reich hapeh. Then no, it's because it causes bad breath. V'amar Abaye, number seven, mereish havmina haida lo yasvi tusim erzeva. I used to think the fact that we don't sit underneath the gutter where the drain pipe is mishum shovchim is because of the water that drains out is disgusting, so you don't want to be filthy. Samali mar, but Rav explained it's mishum d'shchicha mazikin, because there are all sorts of shadim and mazikin that are around by the drain pipe. Hanu shakulai, and there was a maisa of people who were carrying items. They were porters. Davudari chavisa d'chamer, and they were carrying barrels of wine. So they wanted to rest a little bit. So they put these barrels underneath the drain pipe. So Paka, where the barrel broke because a demon came and attacked them, right? Meaning that's where there's a sakana of shadim. So it happened. One of the shadim came and they broke the barrels. These porters came to Mar Baravashi. to bring the mazik to a din Torah, to bring the shade to a din Torah. Apik shipuri, so he took out shofar shamte and he put the mazik in cherim. Sasal kame, the mazik came to Mar Rav Ashi. Amalei, my tavarachi. He said, why did you do that? Why did you break these barrels? Amalei, hechi avid ki osvei buunai. What do you want me to do? They put it in my ears where I can't hear anything, and they made all this loud noise, so it was annoying to me. So Amalei, at beduchta d'shchich rab, my boys, you're hanging out in public where there are a lot of people and there's noise all the time. So atu d'shanis, you're the ones that did something unusual. They made noise in a noisy place. So zil shalim, go and pay them. So Amalei, the mazik said to Mar Ravashi, hashtanami likvili mar zimna, give me some time, I'll pay them, but I need some time to gather the money, ve'efra, and then I'll pay for the nezek. Kavalei zimna, so he gave him a certain amount of time to gather the money. Kimata zimna, when the time came to pay, iakev, he was nowhere to be found, he didn't come. So kiyasa, when he finally came later to pay his debt, so Amalei, Mar Baravashi said to him, amaylo asis bezimnach, why didn't you come at the allotted time? So Amalei, kalmili desayir v'chasam v'chay l'mani, anything that's wrapped up and measured and counted, lesson v'shus l'mishkal minei, I have no right to be able to take it. I'm not as a shade, I have no power over such things. Adam Ashkin midzef kera, I had to find things that people were careless about, that they just left lying around. So that's where I'm able to collect my money, and that's how I was able to finally pay back. Okay, so we'll leave Elisha with the eighth of the Hanhagos. I'm going to be back again saying Shir next Thursday. Elisha's going to go through Tuesday, and then Rabbi Wechselbaum on Wednesday. No, Rabbi Wechselbaum on Wednesday, and I will be back, Hashem, on Thursday. Okay, everyone have a great day. Good Mechadish.